Greetings and welcome to the Cerebral Women Art Talks podcast. I'm Phyllis Hollis, your host. As an extension of my Instagram page, Cerebral Women, this podcast offers insights into the visual art world. I interview artists, mainly artists of color and female artists, who will freely articulate what inspires their creativity. In addition, you'll hear interesting perspectives from dedicated art professionals who work with artists and the art institutions that feature them. I'm confident that collectively, these individuals will indeed stimulate your mind as they do our eyes. Please know, these interviews are conducted in my Manhattan apartment, so please forgive the background sounds of city life. Welcome to the Cerebral Women Art Talks podcast. This episode features gallerist Christine Berry. She began her career at the Modern Art Museum of Fort Worth and continued on to the Whitney Museum of American Art. 20 years ago, she shifted from the nonprofit sector to the commercial art world. In 2013, Christine Berry and Martha Campbell founded Berry Campbell Gallery in Chelsea. The gallery has a fine-tuned program representing artists from post-war American art who have been overlooked due to age, race, gender, or geography. This unique perspective has been increasingly recognized by curators, collectors, and the press. Over the last 10 years, Berry Campbell has doubled its roster, staff, and footprint. In 2022, the gallery moved to its current 9,000 square foot gallery space at 524 West 26th Street in Chelsea, New York. The gallery represents 34 artists in estates, including Lynn Drexler, Frederick Brown, Annette Carter, Frank Wimberly, and Beverly McKeever, to name a few. Enjoy this episode featuring Christine Berry, and please visit berrycampbell.com for additional information about the gallery. Christine, welcome. I'm excited to feature you today.
I'm so excited to be here, Phyllis. Thank you.
My pleasure. When did you discover your love of the visual arts?
You know, I grew up in a very small town in Western New York State, and I wasn't really aware of the visual arts. My mother was a fifth grade teacher. My father was a college professor. So they were people in some levels. But for me, there was a moment where it was Christmas and my mother had given me a coffee table book, and it was a Renoir book. And I'm sure she got it on the, you know, $5 stand, you know, as a stocking stuffer. And I fell in love with that book. I fell in love with those Renoir paintings. I just thought they were so beautiful. And maybe I recognized those rosy-cheeked girls in there. And that same Christmas, we went to visit my aunt, who lived in Boston. And my aunt had studied painting at Syracuse. And my aunt took us to the museum. And would you believe in the collection of the MFA Boston is Dancing in the City by Renoir. And it was one of the paintings that I had fixated on. And my jaw dropped. There I saw the painting, huge, this large scale. It gives me goosebumps thinking about it. And so that was my first moment of, I like this feeling. I don't know what this is, but I like it.
Oh, that's a great story. So when did you decide to study art?
You know, I always liked history and English and poetry. I was okay at math and science, but those were not my forte. And I guess I didn't really understand that you can have a career in the arts. So I applied to universities and I had planned on studying business, maybe go to law school. And my father had gone to Baylor University in Waco, Texas. My whole family was from Texas. So he insisted I go to Baylor. And, you know, one of the electives I took was an art history 101 class. And when you start school in Texas in August, it's pretty hot. And so I walk into this huge auditorium. It was nice and cool. They dimmed the lights and there up on the screen popped up a Vermeer. And I thought to myself, I don't know if you can get a job in this, but this is what I want to do.
That's great. On that note, what do you feel is the purpose of art?
Oh, gosh. Art is, you know, art has a lot of lofty promise. You know, I think artists are sort of the storytellers of our time. Art is a way that we inform ourselves. It's the way we ask questions. It's the way we become curious. But I also think for me personally, art brings me peace and it brings me joy. And that's why I feel so lucky for what I do. And I think we have to remember that we talk about art in such a high way sometimes, but I think we need to remember that art can be used as therapy. It can help with people's emotions. Kids make art. We all make art to express ourselves. And I think that's really important to look at it in different ways.
What inspired you to start your own gallery?
You know, I'm one of those people, I've been in the arts my whole life, so I don't know anything different. Like most people, I started my career at a museum. I started at the Modern Art Museum of Fort Worth in Texas, and then I came up to the Whitney Museum in New York for a brief period. And I loved working in museums. I learned a lot about the process, about the contemporary art world. One thing that was difficult for me was living on a nonprofit salary. I think we don't talk about that in the art world, but getting paid nonprofit is difficult to survive, and especially in New York City. And I had an opportunity. I got offered a job at a big Midtown gallery. And, you know, my friends in the museum world said, oh, do not go to the other side. That's the dark side. You'll never be able to come back. You got to stay nonprofit. And I, you know, I took the job at this gallery and I loved it. I was challenged. I learned so much. It had this quick energy. And yet I still worked with museums, still worked on publications. So I worked for this big Midtown gallery for about 10 years. That's where I met Martha Campbell. We both had worked there and worked on several projects together. And our boss was getting ready to retire. He was 86 years old. And Martha and I started trying to figure out for her, really, because she's younger than me, what would be next for her career. And I said, you got to go meet some people. You got to go talk to some other gallerists. And she said, you know, I really like what we do. I like the artists we show. I like having a gallery. I like our projects. And, you know, a martini or two later, we have our own art gallery 10 years later.
That's great. So let's talk about your methodology in choosing what type of artists you want to work with and, you know, what type of art that you like to exhibit.
Well, I think it's really changed over the years. I think when you first start your business, you know, you actually do not have a roster of artists when you start. And that's pretty shocking that you're calling up artists and saying, so we think we're going to have a gallery and we think it's going to be in Chelsea and we hope it's going to be on the ground floor. Would you like to show with us? And so you're grateful to those artists that sort of believe in you and lean in. So those were the early years. The other thing that I always had a little penchant for history. I like history. My mother was from Long Island originally. So spending my summers out there, my grandmother would often take me to the Parish Art Museum or Guildhall Museum. And I got to see a lot of the abstract expressionists. I got to see where they were working. And in fact, some of the women abstract expressionists were still living out there at that time and relatively not as well known or unheard of at that moment. And so when Martha and I started doing our research about artists, we would go through different archives, whether it was Betty Parsons archives or different gallery archives, and we would look for the artists' names that we did not know. Normally, when you scan a list, you're looking for who you know. We looked for who we did not know. And many of those artists happened to be women that were showing in the day and then for whatever reason were sort of overlooked. And that's really how we started the program. So it's twofold. It's post-war modern and contemporary art, and then also with a contemporary arm to the program as well. And we do have a specialty with women artists. And, you know, I say maybe it's not really a surprise. We are women. We are two women business owners. And many of the artists who have been overlooked or somewhat forgotten or not given the same opportunities are women.
Yes. What aspect of the art world frustrate you the most?
How many? How long do you have?
I'm sorry.
You know, there's so many great things about the art world, like we enjoy so much. But I will say, having a gallery and being a mid-sized gallery, I feel like I can speak to smaller size galleries and mid-sized galleries that we are often showing some very important artists, putting together very important shows, cobbling together major publications. Yet we have to fight to get pressed or get attention from the mega galleries who seem to get most of the notoriety or the writing. So that to me can be difficult some days. Most days I just deal and I'm happy to do what I'm doing and show, but some days I do get frustrated by that.
Yeah, that I can understand. What type of relationship do you like to have with collectors?
You know, I feel fortunate because I work with so many different kinds of people, and we are really lucky to work with collectors who trust in our vision. From a new collector who wants to learn more about art, when you look at our artist roster, you may not recognize a single name, and that's okay to me. My job is to educate and to explain who these artists are, how they fit into art history, and to show you the artwork and show you how good these artists are. So I'm happy to start with new collectors, but I do feel like we're educating all the way to the top collectors. I've had major collectors get upset with me saying, well, how come I don't know who any of your artists are? And fortunately, now I have to say, with the way the world has changed and the way we've diversified in the art world, some of these major collectors now are coming to Martha and I knowing that we have artists that they should be taking a second look at.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Very interesting. What type of relationship do you like to have with artists?
You know, this is like the greatest joy for us to work with an artist. You know, this is why I love being a gallerist, really, is I did a little art consulting for a while. And, you know, collectors would have me running around to every auction house and every museum and every gallery. And it was like, you couldn't know everything. But being a gallerist and having a roster of artists you work with, you become the expert on these artists. And that is wonderful to me, that I can champion artists. So we have relationships with our living artists. And I think of someone like Nanette Carter, who worked so hard. This woman has been working in New York since the 70s and has a CV as long as your arm. And seeing Nanette, what she makes and creates and all the shows that she's doing, the lectures, it inspires me to go the extra mile and to want to share with collectors more about her.
Well, thank you for doing that. What are you excited about right now?
Well, we have so much going on. And as you probably know, I'm excitable in general. But really, our exhibition schedule this year is pretty incredible. We have a focus with a lot of women from abstract expressionist period. We're getting ready for a show of Janice Biala, who was an American expatriate in Paris, and that sort of coincides with the NYU show. Alice Baber, who is hot on the market. For those who don't want to talk about art and only want to talk about market, check out Alice Baber. Martha and I have been collecting up her works now for many years, and one recently just sold at Sotheby's for $700,000. So we've been waiting to do a show of her works. That will be in April. In September, Bernice Bing, who was one of the West Coast women of abstract expressionism. So we often think about the New York School and the East Coast, but actually San Francisco was a real hotbed of abstract expressionism too. And there were a lot of women working out there as well. One of them was a lesbian Asian American artist named Bernice Bing. She recently had a solo show at the Asian Museum of Art out in San Francisco. And I think this might be her first solo show on the East Coast that Martha and I are doing. And then in terms of our contemporary program, we've recently started working with Beverly McKeever, who is a professor at Duke University. She's a figurative artist, a representational artist, which I know is different for us. She makes these very powerful, impactful paintings. And it's been years since she's had a show in New York City, and that will be in October. And then following her is Nanette Carter. This will be our second show of Nanette. And Nanette is also preparing for a solo show at Montclair Art Museum. I can go on for list all good things at Barry Campbell.
So since we're on an up note, we talked about what frustrates you about the art world. Let's chat about what current industry trends do you find promising?
Well, I do think there's been a lot of change. And I do think the fact that our program can be focused on women and that there is a diversity in the art that's happening, that when you go to a museum, you're not seeing just the old regular usual works up in the galleries, you're actually seeing a mix. I think all of this is really good. And I think change takes time. You know, some days it does feel like the good old boys club. But on the other hand, I see change. I see change in the shows that are happening. I see change with young people that are getting involved in the art. And I think bringing different viewpoints in is necessary. We've got to do this if we're going to change this sort of elitist world, the art world that we live and work in.
Yeah, good point. So do you have opinion on the role of the trustee of the major art institutions and how can they help bring about change?
Well, we know we need diversity at all levels. And really, we need to start from the top down. I think, you know, we're making those changes. But what comes to mind, what's happening right now is the Alicia Keys Swizz Beatz show at the Brooklyn Museum. And it's so exciting to me that they have really brought such a great energy to the art world. You know, people are talking about this show. And I imagine that there's going to be a lot of people visiting the Brooklyn Museum that maybe have never gone before. And I think this is really important. And I think the old stalwarts will probably complain that it's dangerous that patrons of museums get to have shows of their collections. But I think we have to do this in order to expand our viewpoints. And I think with caution, this can be done. And look, you've got the most exciting show happening in New York right now. And I think it's a wonderful idea.
What do you feel is the role of the artist?
Oh, gosh. Artists are really some of the most important people in our society. They are storytellers. They inform us about the times that we live in, about other times that we may not know so much about other cultures that we don't understand. I think we have to cherish what artists do and bring to our society, and we need to help sustain artists. I think it's really difficult to be an artist. You know, there's only so many art stars, but there's a lot of people who are artists, true and true, and having to work day jobs. And I think we really need to support these people and try to find other venues to show art besides just art galleries and museums, because I think there's so many people that have so much to say, but it's not always easy functioning in our society and being a working artist.
Thank you for that. Have you always been drawn to abstract paintings versus figurative?
I knew you were going to ask me this. For the record, I personally love all kinds of art. And I do believe when good art is good, it's good, whatever the medium or the way it's made. But for me personally, I do think that abstraction can take me to a higher place. And Martha and I show a lot of abstraction in the gallery. And I think it's important that people be open to abstract work. I think there is maybe a fear because the story may not be right up front, but there is a story. Frank Wimberly, who is one of the great abstract artists, I should say, and has always worked in an abstract mode, he was good friends with Miles Davis, who was also a great collector of his. And Frank always says to me, Christine, you know, every one of my paintings is like an album all in one. It's not just a song, it's an album. And I think it's a good way to think about abstraction is like music, that if you like a song, you just like a song. You don't necessarily have to analyze why, and you don't have to understand the parts, or you don't have to make music to know. You just know the song is good and you like it. And I think that's how we need to look at abstraction. And for me, one of my favorite artists is Mark Bradford. And I think he, to me, just nails it. When I look at his work, I am enveloped into his paintings.
They are beautiful, and they're so nice and big. I mean,
oh my gosh, they are really, they're major. You feel it. You're in them.
Yeah. This has been great. Thank you for your time. This is our final question. How do you want to impact the art world?
You know, I want to say to you that it would be one big thing, but the reality of it for me is every little small push in the right direction is a victory. You know, whether it's someone walking into the gallery and learning about an artist they've never heard of, or getting a museum to acquire one of our artists, these are all events that build and build and ultimately make an impact. And I know that I fall into bed exhausted each night, but with a smile on my face.
Well, thank you for the work you do. Believe me, art keeps me smiling.
Indeed. We're lucky.
Yes. Thanks so much, Christine.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Cerebral Women Art Talks podcast. For additional content, please visit cerebralwomen.com and be sure to follow Cerebral Women on Instagram.